Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is number 13 of the series on called Sheridan on Romans. And I want to apologize to those of you who have been waiting for these programs and have not gotten them in the last few days. I have to tell you, it has been a whirlwind. And I think I mentioned to you that these programs are recorded amidst life. I'm not a full-time professional preacher or anything like that. I'm able to do these when I can. I would like to get these out 5 days a week, but please bear with me if I don't. They're just so you know that these things do take time. I don't actually make specific notes for these programs. I'm teaching you based off of my years of studying the book of Romans, so please don't expect that these programs will be exhaustive. Only God can exhaust his scriptures. And what makes us all equal in this sense is that all of us can have a copy of the scriptures and go before God and have him teach us. And especially with all the tools we have available today, we have the Concordant Version, probably the most accurate translation on planet Earth, and we have a lot of good helps. So I hope to be just a guide to help you out, and many of you help me out through your questions and comments it's a mutual faith kind of thing, so I appreciate all you out there who are listening. Well, Romans chapter 1, and last time we spoke about the great lie of Romans verses 24 to 25, and we're just going to look at that. Wherefore God, verse 24, gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves, those who alter the truth of God into the lie, and are venerated, and offer divine service to the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for the eons. Amen. I want you to notice how Paul actually kind of pauses there and says, who is blessed for the eons. It's almost like Paul saw how man treated the true and living God, and he has to pause, as it were, in the midst of this catalog of sin and give glory to the Creator. Now, by the way, keep this in mind. When we're reading Romans 1, 2, and 3, it's very depressing, but we need this background of human sin in order for God to display his righteousness. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians 1, we see that the Thessalonian believers were at one time bowing the knee to idols, and then a couple weeks later they were worshiping the true and living God. And that is found in 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul says, "For from you has been sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward God has come out, so that we have no need to speak anything. For they are reporting concerning us what kind of an entrance we had to you, and how you turned back to God from idols, to be slaving for the living and true God, and to be waiting for his Son out of the heavens." And so the Thessalonians were once in this category in Romans 1, but through the message of the cross work of Christ, they were gloriously converted to the living and true God. Well, Paul goes on in verse 26 by saying, "Therefore God gives them over to dishonorable passions." Notice the phrase, "God gives them over." God stopped restraining them, just like in the Hebrew scriptures where we read about how God restrained Abimelech from taking Sarah to be his wife. And God has the ability, if he can restrain or he doesn't restrain man's passions. But here God gives them over to dishonorable passion. Notice that therefore, when man changes the truth of God into the lie, or when they stop giving honor to the creature, God gives them over to dishonorable passions. See, it's when man turns from his God, he's doing something unnatural. That's why God gives him over to dishonorable passions. And that says, "For their females, besides, alter the natural use into that which is beside nature." Now, many make this refer to lesbianism, but if you read in the Hebrew scriptures in Leviticus 18, 19, and 20, it seems for the female it's in reference to bestiality. I'm not saying here I promote lesbianism or I'm telling you to practice it. I'm just telling you what I think the facts are. People always like to be pious about certain sins and not pious about others. You know, I was one Baptist organization was absolutely put out with me because I drink wine and beer. And I responded by saying, "Why is it that every 300-pound Baptist preacher has to tell me I can't drink beer?" Anyway, I think you see the irony in that statement. Well, anyway, he says, for their females, besides, alter the natural use into that which is beside nature. And again, going back to Leviticus, I believe it's referring to bestiality. Likewise, also the males, besides, leaving the natural use of the female, were inflamed in their craving for one another. Males with males, effecting indecency and getting back in themselves the retribution of their deception, which must be. Notice what happens here. Just as the women had dishonorable passions, so likewise also the males. In this case, it has reference to men with men, and that's very unnatural. And they left the natural use of the female. And God designed for man and female to be, man and woman to be together. And it says, instead of that, they were inflamed in their craving for one another. And what was the result of that is they got back in themselves a retribution of their deception, which must be. And I think we find that in history, when people have embraced this kind of behavior, it was a national tragedy. It affected every area of life. It affected bodily functions and disease, and every nation that has really embraced, it seems in history, every nation that has embraced illicit sexual practices has gone downhill. And that's just what must be when this happens. And again, remember, the context of this is to show this is what happens when men turn from the true and living God. And when you turn from the true and living God, everything becomes unnatural. But this is all part of God's purpose to show man's sinfulness so he can display his own grace. Verse 28, and according as they do not test God to have him in recognition, God gives them over to a disqualified mind. Notice the irony there. They don't test God to have him in recognition. They don't expose themselves to the prospect of the true and living God based on the creation around. They don't look around at creation and say, huh, there is a God, and we need to recognize him. We need to get to know him better. But no, that's not what they did. Because they didn't do that, God gives them over to a disqualified mind, you see? When we reject God, our minds and our bodies become unnatural, as it were. Our minds here are messed up, according to Romans 1:28, when you reject God. God gives them over to a disqualified mind to do that which is not befitting. Notice he does this to do that which is not befitting. When your mind's not right, you don't do the right things. One friend of mine said, when the mind goes bad, nothing is right. And that's true. And that's you can see that even with people who lose their minds from disease and so forth. Their discernment powers are gone, and they do strange things. Well, here it says they're filled with all injustice, wickedness, evil, greed, distended with envy, murder, strife, guile, depravity, whisperers, vilifiers, detesters of God, outragers, proud, ostentatious, inventors of evil things, stubborn to parents, unintelligent, perfidious, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now notice that list, and here's an assignment for everyone. Look up every one of these words in the keyword concordance and mind from the meaning of each one of these words and apply it to the nations as a whole. And you see that most of these things, if not all of them, are the subject of movies and newspaper articles. And if you want to know more about Romans chapter 1, just turn on the news and you see all this in place. The nations are filled with these things. It says here, distended with envy, bulging with it. And this is constant. All these things are constant in constant operation among the nations. And why is it? Why are the nations like this, as we read in Romans 1? Well, because according to Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, because knowing God, not as God do they glorify or thank him. And so this is the main reason. When you don't glorify God, the true and living God, or thank him, this is the result. But then again, remember, the reason that this all is going on is so God can demonstrate his grace to a world of undeserving sinners. Well, notice what it says in verse 32. Those who, recognizing the just statute of God, that those committing such things are deserving of death, not only are doing them, but are endorsing also those who are committing them. Now, verse 32, when you look at verse 32 and you compare it with verse 19 and 20 of chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 and verse 32, we see that this God's indignation is being revealed from heaven not against ignorance. This is referring to those who are who recognize the truth. And remember, I think this goes back historically to the Tower of Babel, when the world itself knew the true and living God. They Noah stepped off the ark, taught his children, and in Noah's own day, the people turned away from the true and living God and went to basically idolatry, starting with Nimrod and so forth. So I think this is a historical fact, and we see the result of this historical fact today in the characteristic of the nations as a whole. And so they knew back then that it was a just statute of God that those committing such things deserved death. Notice it says death. It doesn't say deserve eternal conscious torment, any other garbage like that. How come we never read these passages, right? If you read in the Hebrew scriptures that many of the things that are being committed here, such as bestiality, verse 26, such as homosexuality, in verse 27, these things were deserve the death penalty under the Hebrew scriptures. Oh, by the way, just one comment. 1 Corinthians, one of some of the Corinthian believers at one time were homosexuals. Did you know that? And so what this tells us is today we're not calling for the death penalty. Some actually believe that we should go back to giving the death penalty to some of these folks. But listen, the evangel, the grace of God, goes to all people, and the greater the sin, probably the better. And now ponder what I just said there. The more self-righteous people are, the evangel really doesn't appeal to them because they don't think they need it. But the worse you are, the more you realize you need it. And when Paul went to the heathen, it was a blessing because they had no righteousness. They were just... Well, I had to stop the recording and punch back in here. My recording equipment stopped again, and I do not have the ability to go back and listen. And so let me just pick up where I think I left off. We were pointing out in Romans 1, we refer to homosexuals. But remember this, the Corinthian church, the Ecclesia in Corinth, had homosexuals who came to see the gospel, the grace of God, and were members of the Corinthian Ecclesia there. That goes to show you that grace today reaches all mankind. We're not calling for the death penalty. We're calling for the evangel of grace. God is conciliated to the world, and he's not reckoning their trespasses against them. Well, verse 32 says, those who committing such things are deserving of death. Verse 32 says, those who recognizing the just statute of God, that those committing such things are deserving of death, not only are doing them, but are endorsing also those who are committing them. This is showing you the depravity of mankind, so he can magnify his grace. This is what the nations are and what they came to be from the Tower of Babel onward. But this is the very group of people to whom Paul goes out with the evangel of the grace of God. Remember, without the great sin, we will not know the great grace. And this is why Paul is bringing these things out in Romans chapter 1. Well, this is Dan Sheridan at Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. If you want to continue supporting the program to see it keep going, you can help us out at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can call us at 847-312-4676. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.